And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The death toll is up to at least 104 now in catastrophic flooding in central Texas, where volunteers on horseback are combing riverbanks for victims and possible survivors. Sonny White is still looking for a friend.
He was camping in a trailer that we found. The trailer was wrapped around a tree the other day, and just discovered his car yesterday and confirmed that.
President Trump says new Russian attacks on Ukraine have left him with little choice but to send more weapons to Kyiv.
If I can stop a war, you know, because I have an ability to do so, I'm disappointed, frankly, that President Putin hasn't stopped. I'm not happy about it either.
CBS News has learned that TSA has begun phasing out a rule requiring passengers to take off their shoes at airport security. Aviation consultant Todd Curtis.
Over the years, TSA and their partner agencies have instituted all sorts of changes in procedures and technology to find out things like explosives and incendiaries.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. Planned Parenthood says hundreds of its clinics nationwide could be at risk of closing under a newly signed law backed by President Trump. President Trump signed the sweeping domestic tax and spending bill on July 4th. The legislation is projected to add trillions to the national debt, but includes deep cuts to food assistance and Medicaid. And although the law doesn't name Planned Parenthood, reproductive rights advocates say it could still have a major impact by blocking Medicaid reimbursements to any nonprofit health provider that offers abortion services.
The congressional bill that would defund Planned Parenthood would make Planned Parenthood essentially a prohibited entity, meaning it could not seek reimbursement from Medicaid for services like contraception care, gender-affirming care, STI treatment, testing, cancer screening. And the list goes on and on.
Michelle Velasquez, Chief Strategy Officer at Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, speaking last week following a state Supreme Court ruling that found a 19th century abortion ban no longer applies in Wisconsin. Medicaid funding for abortion services has long been limited under the Hyde Amendment, but this new law, if interpreted as advocates fear, would go further, barring Medicaid payments to clinics that offer abortions, even if a patient is seeking unrelated care.
So the estimate nationally from the Planned Parenthood Federation is that about 200 Planned Parenthood health centers across the country would likely close.
Nationally, Planned Parenthood served 2 million patients last year. Just 4% of its services were abortion-related. Most were for STI testing and treatment, contraception, and other reproductive health care. In Wisconsin, 54% of its revenue came from Medicaid, according to its 2022-2023 annual report. Planned Parenthood operates 21 clinics across Wisconsin. Only three provide abortion services.
The Brewers clobbered the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. The Brewers got their bats going early. 5-0 at the end of the first. They went on to beat the Dodgers 9-1 last night. On the mound, All-Star Freddy Peralta pitched 6 scoreless innings to earn his 5th consecutive victory. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, Freddy was sensational. He attacked with all 3 pitches, and, you know, that's a great lineup. Maybe the best lineup in baseball, and he attacked and proved, you know, to himself and to all of us, like, he can withstand it.
Peralta beat a Dodgers lineup that included Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Mookie Betts.
He's a really good pitcher, frontline starter in our league. And once you get somebody like Freddie pitching downhill, it's going to be pretty good for you.
Basketball, the Bucks confirming deals we told you about last week. Contract extensions for Kevin Porter Jr., Ryan Rollins, signing the Pacers' Miles Turner. They also bought out the contract of the Hornets' Mihailije Mitrović, who's now free to play elsewhere in the NBA or in Europe. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy today with a few showers and storms around and a high in the upper 70s. Evening storms, then mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 60s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, nice day, a high again around 80. Showers and storms return to the area by Friday. Currently at 64 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Tom Kircher from Wisconsin Watch will be here to take a look at Wisconsin headlines, including back at the state budget. And hey, what's worse for you, being sore or being sick? Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, July 8th, 2025. Parker Olson standing by in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot will join us in just a sec. Coming up in this hour, I mean, we're covering the far northwest and the far southwest corners of the state. We will be talking in our 7:30 half hour with State Representative Jenna Jacobson about her newly announced campaign for the state Senate seat currently held by one of the Republican co-chairs of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. We're also going to visit with Superior Mayor Jim Payne about lead water pipe removal, the Blatnick Bridge Project, and using goats to get rid of buckthorn. And Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV will tell us what's new in the Rhinelander area as well. So, I mean, we got you covered from Superior to Cincinnati. We do. And then in our next hour, we'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area about the state budget bill and the decisions made by Democrats to support it or to vote no on it. All of that coming up from Dan Schaefer in our 8 o'clock hour. But right now, it's time for a little update on the weather with Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, I see some thundershower activity. Looks like it just went past you and is in the Antigo area here. Just went past Marshfield, just past Portage. Who else is getting some right down here?
Yeah, so a lot of places in central Wisconsin, you're kind of seeing a few of those pop-up shower storms.
Yeah.
It looks like maybe near Milwaukee, too, you're getting some light rain, maybe a rumble of thunder as well. Otherwise, we're waiting for this warm front. So this is what's causing all of this little bit commotion here this morning. The warm front's moving through. It's right on the western edge of the state right now is a low pressure nearest the state. Temperatures up north, you're sitting in the mid-50s. Down south, even in La Crosse, you're at about 70 degrees this morning. Highs today will climb to the upper 70s in the northern parts of the state and 80s statewide. Probably some mid to upper 80s far south and west in the state. So it's going to be a warmer one, but we do have a cold front moving through this afternoon. That is going to be sparking up some more showers and thunderstorms. Those could pack a little bit more rainfall than the ones early this morning, so make sure that you have that umbrella with you as you go through this afternoon and evening. I'm probably thinking they'll start around 4 or 5 or so and kind of go into that early evening hour. They should fizzle out by midnight. We're looking at a good 1/10 of an inch to 1/4 inch of rainfall. This is today. Then another high-pressure system settles in tomorrow. We have a bunch of sunshine on tap for Wednesday. Thursday, we get a little more muggy, and then more rain headed our way on Friday. That could be some heavier, much more widespread event going on Friday.
All right. Let's see. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy, 61. It was muggy and hazy yesterday. I had mowing jobs in Wittenberg. My cousin David came over to my place for a visit, talking about the good old days when our parents were around and farming. He said, as a 5-year-old kid in 1972, that year there were great songs on the radio. When I think of Oklahoma, as Parker and I were talking about earlier, I think of Shirley Jones from her 1956 movie. Yes, I should have mentioned that starred Shirley Jones of the Partridge Family. The Go-Go's were his favorite all-female group. Vacation was their best song, in his opinion. He also had a hot fudge sundae yesterday at the Dairy Queen in Clintonville. We were talking about this being National Sundae Day, and Parker, you couldn't come up with a favorite sundae, but Alicia helped you out on that, didn't she?
Turtle. Turtle's a good
turtle. Yeah. Turtle is the one that you want.
Yes.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, absolutely. That one's good. It's got all the goods in it.
Right?
Yep. And Rob's hoping he can get some lawns mowed today in Tigerton. Do you have a favorite sundae? Mine, for the record, hot fudge and bananas. Cut up some bananas and a hot fudge sundae. I'm good.
But oh, my gosh.
Honestly, other people, they want the whole kitchen sink in there, but, you know, I'm easy. How about you?
If I have brownies and fudge in there, I am golden. So as long as that's in there, I'm good. Yeah.
Love the brownie pieces ones that are in there, too. Yes. And let's see. There's also... So that's my goal too at Culver's. At DQ, there's one with little pieces of birthday cake that they use instead of the brownies.
I was just thinking that. I forgot the cake or the cheesecake if they put that in there.
We are so not a low-calorie morning show, just so we're clear with everybody
This.
No, that is. hey, yesterday, I believe you were wearing an AirVenture EAA Oshkosh shirt. And
yes, I was.
I didn't have time to ask you at the time because I believe Parker here has expressed interest in going to the EAA. Never been, Parker?
I've never been. I'm thinking about it. I really want to go. It seems really cool.
Yes. So I told him to talk to you because you camp there. So
I do. I do it all. If you go, Parker, we are definitely going to be hanging out. And this event is just massive. People from all across the world are coming to Little Oshkosh. So it's crazy to see all the campers, all the planes, all of the people. You are going to make friends and family while you're there. You're going to learn so much, see some cool technology, and probably fly in a bunch of planes because they do different trial runs and stuff like that. So if you have any interest in aviation, you should be there. End of the month.
Okay. I'll think about it. I know somebody who will definitely go, so I might have.
And I'll be there. Yes.
And well, you
go, go, go.
Okay. There's your promo for AirVenture for today.
All right,
Brittany, we'll talk to you next hour. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. The Brewers had no trouble with the LA Dodgers yesterday, beating up on them 9-1, chasing their starting pitcher after just 2/3 of an inning. Christian Yelich had a home run. And, of course, Freddy Peralta had a great game as well. 6 shutout innings, striking out 7. And that was just last night's 9-1 victory for the Brewers. Tonight is a whole different story where the Brewers will have their rookie phenom pitcher, Jacob Mizorowski, going up against Clayton Kershaw, the guy who just joined the 3,000 strikeout club. So I would expect a sellout or a near sellout at American Family Field, and you can catch that game wherever you are, especially in Civic Media World in the Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward areas. By tuning into your local station, the pregame will begin at 6:05, and Alicia says my oldest and I will be there. That might be AirVenture, not the Brewers game, but regardless, big game, pregame at 6:05 on some of the stations here of the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember as well that you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and see what we've got in there. A mix of features and news stories as well. On our website, there is this story, 10 Wisconsin breweries that make a difference, places that have started their own grant programs, they host fundraising events, place an emphasis on sustainability and reducing their carbon footprint, even giving to groups that help abandoned pets and animal sanctuaries. All of this in the name of drinking beer to do good works. Find that article. Here's another one. Weekend road trip stories. 7 great places to see waterfalls around Wisconsin. So you can see those on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And, of course, we're on social media as well. And so if you scroll through our Facebook feed and Instagram, I think, as well, you will find the interviews that Selena Heller did with members of the Blue Angels when they were at the Chippewa Valley Airport for that recent air show. She talked to them about what service means to them, serving their country, serving their community, and just also putting on a great show with precision skills and the support that goes along with it. So find those interviews on the Up North News social media sites as well. I wanted to take a sec to talk about the way that the state budget and the federal budget are going to impact Wisconsin. And the bottom line is that Republicans in Madison and in Washington have turned out to be equal opportunity defunders. Doesn't matter if you're in a city or if you're in parts of rural Wisconsin. Let's start with the city. The Trump mega bill killed a lot of funding that the Biden administration was making to invest in American infrastructure. And that includes killing federal funding for the 6th Street Corridor in Milwaukee. Because obviously none of Wisconsin's 6 Republican House members wanted to be a champion for a project not in their district, even though it would have brought in tens of millions of dollars in economic impact, created hundreds of jobs, improved driver and pedestrian safety, reduced traffic congestion. Can't have nice things like that in the big bad city, right? So the 6th Street Corridor makeover has been dealt a setback by the Trump administration. And then there's rural Wisconsin, where in the state budget, Republicans were requested by Governor Tony Evers to put $100 million into the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program, which provides grant funding to acquire, conserve, and maintain public land. The governor asked for $100 million over the next decade. Republicans didn't want to go that high. They put in zero. $0 in funding for the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. There is a separate Republican bill about it, but it doesn't have to pass the way that a state budget does. The budget, by the way, does include a $1 million study for private industry to look at forest management practices. Now, that could be good forestry practices like sustainable harvesting and identifying new markets beyond paper mills. Or it could be something more along the lines of, you know, this looks like a good place for another strip mall. I would highly recommend the Wisconsin Examiner article by Henry Redman. Head over to wisconsinexaminer.com to read his story about how conservation of public lands remains widely popular among Democratic and Republican voters in our state, but not the lawmakers. The lawmakers get donations, and some do a better job representing their ideology than their entire district or the best interests of the state as a whole. That separate Republican bill I mentioned is being sponsored by Representative Tony Kurtz of Wanawak and Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point. And of course, it would come with strings attached, like more legislative micromanaging of land purchases. And who wouldn't rather have politicians in charge of conserving our natural resources with the ability to disregard those pesky scientists and other experts? And I can hear folks saying, well, what if the tables were turned? You know, and a Democratic-controlled legislature would want oversight over a Republican governor's DNR, right? Well, here's the difference. The DNR under a Democratic governor is actually interested in conserving and getting the best use out of our natural resources. The DNR under the last Republican governor, Scott Walker, used its time to remove the words climate change from state records and dismantle environmental protections. The last Republican DNR secretary even tried to end the publication of the popular Wisconsin Natural Resources magazine so it couldn't publish those pesky articles about conservation and climate and the legacy that we leave our grandkids. So a DNR true to its mission is more likely to be in line with scientists and other experts and not require micromanagement from politicians, especially the ones who could not bulldoze a wetland fast enough to make room for another golf course or a subdivision of McMansions. So just keep this in mind for future elections. Every election matters, including your legislator. And it's a lot easier to replace a forest with development than it is to grow a new forest. We have to do right by the future when it comes to long-term planning over short-term gratification. And that takes me to this quick promo for Civic Media and one of their podcasts by Matt Rothschild called Wisconsin Forward, a weekly dive into a topic surrounding a current political problem in our state. In one recent episode, Matt gives a history of conservation in Wisconsin, what was once a bipartisan value, and interviews Tia Nelson, daughter of the late Senator and Earth Day founder Gaylord Nelson. Subscribe and download Wisconsin Forward on Spotify, Apple, or over on the Civic Media website as well. A local update is coming up next for some of you. Others will visit with me and Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. And when we're all back together in 15 minutes, State Representative Jenna Jacobson on her state Senate campaign. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
Try the Y in July for free. The Southwood County YMCA is the perfect place for you to get healthier this summer. They have everything you need, free weights, treadmills, and expert trainers to keep you in tip-top condition or cool down with a dip in the pool. And you can try it for free. Listen to 105.5 FM WIRI or 97.5 FM WFHR this July and get yourself a free single-day pass. Get out of the heat and get into a healthier you at the Southwood County YMCA.
The day is here, the one you've planned and pictured in your mind 100 times. Guests arrive, soft music plays, and everything is falling into place. Today, you marry your best friend. At Distinctly Yours Wedding and Events, your celebration is designed to feel like you. Personal, thoughtful, and full of joy. Marsha and her team are with you every step of the way, making sure everything flows seamlessly so you can be present and take it all in. Because your wedding should be distinctly yours, down to the very last detail.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Rapids Report, brought to you proudly by Crockett Septic for this July 7th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, and I'm excited. I got a bunch of energy in me because we're going to be talking to some of my favorite people. Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Teen Summer Production is here with us right now. We've got our director. We got a bunch of the cast members. What we're going to do to start, so the audience can put a name to the voice, we'll kind of go down the line here and let you guys introduce yourselves. And, you know, I'm going to start with you, Sue. I gotta start with you.
Okay, hi.
And that's trying to brown nose a director at
no,
all.
That is no, not never. I know you want a part. I know you
okay,
want
okay. Thank you for thinking of me.
My name is Sue Becker. I'm the director of West Side Story. This is my third show with the community theater. I did Newsies last year and then White Christmas in the winter. And now West Side Story. I've been with the high or the grade school doing children's theater for the last 11 years. So,
wow. Yeah. I didn't realize you'd been there that long. That's awesome, Sue. That's really cool. Good on you. I appreciate you doing that, too. Thank you very much for the introduction. Let you introduce yourselves next, sir.
Hi, my name is Ethan Mattson. I am a part of this play. I play the character of Riff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And right on. Thank you, Ethan. Appreciate that.
Hello, my name is Phoebe Lager, and I play the part of Maria.
Thank you, Phoebe.
All right, hello, my name is Madeline Hando, and I play the part of Anita.
Thank you, Madeline.
And then, hi, I'm Austin Franz, and I play the parts of Tony.
Nice. Thanks for being here, Austin. And Austin, Ethan, good to see you guys again. Appreciate it. This is old hat for you, so don't. As I warn all of you every time you're in here, please do not take my job. I need this job, okay? So don't be too good at this. But I do want to kind of get into the play a little bit first to kick things off, Sue, if you don't mind. And we were joking a little bit in our pregame. It's hard to imagine anybody not knowing West Side Story, but just for those that may not be, or maybe even just reminding people about it, and if there is any, I don't know if it's significant differences, but the adult play, the teen play, if there is anything like that you want to touch on.
Right. West Side Story is a classic. I mean, it's something I saw when I was a young girl. It was in the 50s. It takes place there. The adaptation we're doing is the high school version. A lot of input from, obviously, Leonard Bernstein, Stephen Sondheim, and then Jerome Robbins. A lot of insight from him.
Yeah.
The difference between the adult version and the high school is how they ease it up a little bit in the message, as well as the musical score is put in vocal range for teens that are developing their voices. So it's not as intense. It's not easy. They'll tell you that. But and I have a musical director, Cindy Urzel. She's been amazing. So that's kind of the gist of how you get the high school version. It is definitely, you know, set in New York City in the 50s. Two rival gangs. I don't feel... I see it as racial. It's more territorial.
Yes.
And, you know, the ups and downs of trying to vie for that one spot or their territory. The classic good versus evil. Evil, you know.
Since the Montagues and Capulets, we've been doing these stories.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a modern day Romeo and Juliet story. So people come, if they know Romeo and Juliet, if they've seen this show, whether it was back in the 61 version or the more newer version that was just recently put on TV. But you'll love the music. I mean, who doesn't like Somewhere Tonight? Officer Krupke is like, you'll laugh your tush off. The kids are so fun in that. You know, I sat there and go, how am I going to choreograph this? I gave them a couple moves and then they took over.
Nice.
And they have just done an amazing job with it. It is crazy. Slapstick. It's really good. So Marie and Tony will make you cry. Their voices are beautiful. So, you know, it's just, it'll be a good time.
Yeah. And thank you for that, Sue. We were talking about this on air, off air a little bit with this show. This show in particular meant a lot to me as a kid and to my family. I come from a mixed family and know a little bit about this, come from the other side of the tracks, know a little bit about that and territories and what you were saying there and some of those things. So seeing any kind of representation, even if it is a little, you know, entertainmented, you know, and raised up a notch or whatever and everything, was meant something as a kid. It just didn't have a lot of that. And everything. That was important. And I think that the essence of the play, the meaning of the play, the message of the play, you can make an argument is just as relevant now as it was back then when it first premiered and some of those things.
Correct.
But there's the other part of this, too, and I hadn't thought that much about it until recently, and you guys follow me on this one, but it actually, I actually thought about the recent run of the Spider-Man movies. And those movies have had great actors playing those roles all the time. Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, great actors, also almost 30, and they're playing teenagers, you know? And it just never felt right, no matter how good those actors were, that just never felt like I didn't really believe him as Spider-Man. You know, Tom Holland, not, you know, not a teenager, but a much younger actor, and certainly looks younger, and it just made the character that much more believable. To me, when I'm watching those movies that you reference, and they're great movies, both of them are really good, you got, you know, 20-year-olds, almost 30-year-olds playing teenagers in some of these things and everything, and it just isn't believable.
Right.
When you have kids doing this show, when you have teenagers doing this show, you guys get this better than we can. You just do. There's certain things at a certain age that you just feel and can get and you can bring to life so much better than adults can, no matter how great of actors they are. There's certain things that only real life can incorporate and really bring. And you guys, at the time of life you're in, doing this show, couldn't be a better match, couldn't be a better fit. And I think that when you really do love a play like this or a show like this, and you've seen it many times or something like that, when you have kids actually doing it, teenagers actually doing it, it's so much different. It brings so much more to the show and everything. And that's why we can't encourage you enough to check this one out.
And that's the thing. There's so much heart in it from them. Their emotions are raw. And, you know, in the storyline, the adults in the show I kept as adults. I'll give a plug. Seth is Lieutenant Shrink. Yeah. So, and he plays it well. So, and it was perfect. So,
yeah, Seth did have in my notes to mention him. Thank you. we do appreciate everybody involved with this one. You have such a good team. You mentioned your choreographer earlier and a music director.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Coming off a big 4th of July weekend, the U.S. ethanol industry doing pretty well. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. In fact, it's one segment that kind of continues to grow. That's the word from John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says, thank goodness the U.S. ethanol industry is as vibrant as it is. It helps offset some of those cost losses we've seen.
We're really close to where the USDA target is on the ethanol grind, maybe a little bit heavier than the USDA is targeting. So we'll see if there's any demand adjustments on that old crop side as we get close to the end of the marketing year on August 30th. But right now, it's been a very good source of demand. We've seen those ethanol producers continue to kind of bid up a little bit, trying to find some, you know, keep supplies going and get themselves covered here going forward. And that's been one of the bright spots on the old crop side has been that demand between either exports or the ethanol side.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. The Renewable Fuels Association is reporting ethanol production in the United States is growing, with actual production climbing and capacity utilization at about 90%. Markets are next.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As a young person in agriculture, I wondered how I could make a difference in my community. But then I found Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Young Farmer and Agriculturist program. It's more than a group. It's a chance to connect with others, grow as a leader, and advocate for agriculture. Together, we're shaping the future of farming in Wisconsin. Be a part of something big. Join us today.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
In overnight electronic trade this morning, our September corn is down a penny currently at 4.02. December new crop down 2 at 4.18. August beans are down 2 at 10.29. November new crop unchanged at 10.21. The wheat for September down a nickel right now at 5.43 a bushel. Yesterday, barrel cheese dropped a penny to 1.71. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged, while AA butter gained a penny and a half to 2.62 a pound. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 4 at 18.18. September's unchanged right now at 18.77 a hundredweight. So, just a quick snapshot on what's happening as far as the markets on a Tuesday morning after a great crop progress report that was issued yesterday. I'm PM Yankee.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy today with a few showers and storms around and a high in the upper 70s. Evening storms, then mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 60s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, nice day, a high again around 80. Showers and storms return to the area by Friday. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
Lindsay Owens joins me at 5 o'clock to talk about the impacts of the big, brutal bill on your pocketbook, as well as Donald Trump's renewed train war. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Remember, if you can't catch the program live, you can take it along as a podcast and listen on demand. Head over to Spotify or Apple or whatever podcast platform you use and subscribe to our mornings powered by Up North News. And you keep listening live. But that way, if you miss a show or you want to listen back to something, you've got the chance right there on your smartphone or other device. So again, Spotify, Apple, subscribe as a podcast. We'd love to have you along. We are already talking about the 2026 elections, and for good reason. There are big races that are at stake. Of course, the governor's race. We've talked about the state Supreme Court race that will be happening next April. And, of course, there will be legislative elections with Democrats seeking a return to the majority for the first time since the 2008 elections. They were hampered by gerrymandered maps, which have been, by and large, either de-rigged or, shall we say, lesser rigged. Either way, you've got a legislature that is creeping closer to being more representative of Wisconsin values statewide, and that might be helped a bit next year in the southwestern corner of Wisconsin for a state Senate race that developed there with a challenge to the Republican incumbent, Howard Markline, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. And that challenger is Democratic State Representative Jenna Jacobson, who joins us this morning. Jenna's from Oregon and looking to compete in it's the 17th district, right, Jenna? Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, it is. Thank you for having me, by the way.
You bet. Now, the 17th includes Crawford, Grant, Greene, Iowa, and Lafayette counties, parts of Dane and Rock and Vernon counties. And you'd be going up against somebody who's got a lot of, you know, power, but it is a district that appears to be very much in play. Kamala Harris carried it by 1 point, Tammy Baldwin by 5 points. So basically, you knew what you were getting into when you launched this campaign yesterday. How did the launch go?
It went well. I was surrounded not just by family and friends, but community leaders around the district. And I'm excited to get out there and talk to folks and give them the opportunity to have good representation in Madison.
Yeah. Now, you've done that representation in a couple of different assembly districts, which I think is funny because of the prior redistricting, which did you no favors. Basically, you have represented two different districts. The switch from one to the other was really that broad, wasn't it?
It was. And my I used to represent my mom in the previous district, so she's still a little sad that I no longer. But fair maps are a good trade-off.
They really are. And that was, without a doubt, the point of this last state budget. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But let's get a little bit more of your background as a state Senate candidate. That while you're competing down in the southwest corner of Wisconsin, you are a native of Polk County from Frederick, of all places. So, I mean, you're practically a hometown kid for us up here. So give us a little bit more of your story.
So I moved to Frederick when I was in sixth grade because my mom got a job up there. She was a pastor. And I lived in various parts of Wisconsin previous to that, but really settled in Frederick, really enjoyed the community. You learn so much about how important community is when you're in a village of 1,100 folks. And I really think about that frequently, you know, after I went to college and I had moved out of state with my husband to finish my degree. We kept saying, we really need to get back to Wisconsin. We really need to settle in one of our rural communities that we just have enjoyed so much. And I'm so grateful that we did in southwestern Wisconsin. And
College, by the way, was River Falls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you met.
Yep.
So that's great. Let's see, on YouTube already from Adam says, yay, Representative Jacobson, Oregon pride. I voted for you in the Oregon Village President election. So you did. You had run for village president. You served on the village board before you were a legislator.
I did. And that really informed a lot of my reasoning for running for state level office was I kept learning about how, you know, we would try to do something and then there's the state would say, oh, well, we have a regulation that says you can't do this, even though this is what your community needs. Or funding was a huge issue. You know, we could, you know, we're hampered by how much money we can raise, which is not a bad thing necessarily, because we obviously want to make sure that we're not taxing people out of living in our community, but we also need to provide services to folks. And so it was a really eye-opening experience as far as how the state and the local government interplay to provide all these services and where there's some real opportunities for, frankly, for the state to get out of local communities' ways so that they can really provide for their neighbors.
Provide a measure of local control. Boy, I remember hearing that a lot about a decade and a half ago. My, how things have changed. You've worked in financial literacy. You worked up here for Wisconsin Credit Union. You've been on the Governor's Council on Financial Literacy and Capability. And the funny thing is, Jen, I know from my time as a state senator and as a journalist before that, we heard a lot from folks on the right about the need for, you know, kids need to know their financial literacy and need to understand how a budget works. It seems to me that, yes, that is important, but it's a skill that translates into use at the state capitol as well. We could use folks who know their numbers when it comes to budgeting every 2 years.
Not just know their numbers, but make sure that the budget is reflective of their priorities. I think that is the key of any budget. When I first sit down with somebody that I'm coaching with, I say, what are your financial goals? You know, and then we work towards that. So if your financial goal is to go on a trip to Ireland, I had a couple that I worked with, then that's what you work towards. If your goal is to fully fund your public schools, then that's what you work towards. You know, you can't ever solve everything in one budget, but you build them to make sure that they're reflecting what your constituency needs and wants.
So then what did you ultimately see and do about the budget bill last week? Because it was plodding along and then suddenly it picked up tremendous speed because of things that were happening in Congress. How did it eventually all shake out in your view?
You know, I think it was, I think there was a lot of good things in the budget. And, you know, I'm really grateful for the advocacy that Governor Evers and Senator Hasselbein did to get it to the place that it was. But I just keep going back to, you know, the budget was debuted back in February. And yet we found ourselves rushing in the last few days of June to get it done. And that seems like a problem that could have been solved earlier, right? You know, the budget was due on June 30th, and yet we were voting on it on June 7th. We actually technically didn't vote on it till June or till July 3rd, but we weren't debating it till July 2nd. And, you know, were you putting ideology over the practical needs of your state? Is that what was going on? I have questions, I guess, about
Look, this is, we hear this all the time about there should not be policy in the budget bill. There is always policy in the budget bill. And yet the first thing they'll do is they'll take Governor Evers' ideas and they'll set them aside. They might bring one or two of them back, but they don't. And it is, in my view, a very dysfunctional joint finance committee system that we have right now. And you are looking to challenge the incumbent state senator in the 17th district, Howard Markline, a co-chair of the joint finance committee. So as much as Senator Markline's record itself will be up for consideration by the voters, so will the whole way that this current legislative majority handles our tax dollars. And I think that's a fight you wouldn't mind taking on.
No, I mean, I think anybody can agree that when we're delaying how we do the budget and then suddenly it's debuted and you're voting on it 24 hours later, that doesn't give the public the opportunity to have the input that they want and deserve. That doesn't give legislators the opportunity to fully dive into this massive policy document, because you're right, they take policy out on the basis that they say policy shouldn't be into the budget, but a budget is a policy document inherently. And so the whole process is dysfunctional. And I think, you know, Wisconsinites are just tired of it. They want government to work. They want it to reflect their needs and their values. And I think that there's no reason why it needs to be that dysfunctional.
So in going up against an incumbent in a larger district, areas that you hadn't represented previously, what else will be part of your message as you go talk in some of these new areas for you of the 17th Senate District about why they should replace their senator and what makes you the better replacement?
Well, it's not just that I've represented a large chunk of this district, but I also lived in another part. I used to live in Barneveld. I had all of my three kiddos, and I had all of them at the hospital in Dodgeville. So I have connections throughout the district. And both in the few weeks before announcing this campaign and when I lived in other parts, one of the biggest things that I heard was people didn't feel listened to. They didn't feel like they were being represented. And so I think one of the biggest things that I can bring to the table is I will show up places, happy to talk to folks. Even if you think I'm not going to agree with you, let's have a conversation about it. I think that that's important, because when you're an elected official, you represent everybody, not just the people who voted for you, not just the people who agree with you, but all of the folks in that district. And so I think that's one of the huge things that I can bring to the table is to just get out and listen to folks.
Your website, which is jennaforwisconsin.com, that's J-E-N-N-A, jennaforwisconsin.com, under the shared values section, lists six key issues off the top: education, environment, family farms, healthcare, quality, affordable housing, and women's rights. And we don't have time to cover all those in our final 2 minutes or so here, but I wanted to let people know what you listed as your highest priorities. Pick any one of them, if you would, Representative Jacobson, and talk about why you think that it makes you the better choice and why you hold that value dear to you.
I'm going to choose education. There's so many things that we could talk about, but I think when we look at education, we look at the state of education in Wisconsin. One of the things that we've seen is a chronic underfunding in our schools. Senate district has multiple elementary schools that have had to close because of a lack of school funding, including Arena Elementary School, where my kids were slated to go when I lived in the Barneveld area. And I think about how important our schools are to our rural communities. You know, up in Frederick, we did so much around our school, not just going to school, but it was a great place for community activities, community education, so many things that that vibrated out of that school, and how we're not supporting our rural communities and sometimes harming them when we don't prioritize education. And we're also not supporting the next generation of Wisconsinites, which we really need to be a main focus on.
So we've got a ways to go until the 2026 elections. Why did you feel it was important to jump in now?
It was a lot around the budget. I felt like, you know, as many folks do, they take their victory laps, as we've seen Senator Mark Lyon do on this budget. But I think we can't let the last 15 minutes really overshadow what's been going on for the past 15 years that he's been in office. And again, the chronic underfunding of our schools, the underfunding of our communities, the removal of local control. There's a lot of things on the table that over the past 15 years have really hampered how folks in this district can do their work.
Yep. Representative Jenna Jacobson, who is running for state senate in the 2026 elections. Representative Jacobson, thank you very much. We appreciate the visit and safe travels. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And you can learn more over at jennaforwisconsin.com. And of course, you can follow her on social media as well. A local update is coming up next. For some of you, others will stick around as we visit with Superior Mayor Jim Payne. And when we're all back together in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Remember, you can follow my team all day long at upnorthnewswi.com, through social media, and of course, right here, mornings, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Get ready for an unforgettable experience at historic Witter Field in Wisconsin Rapids. Save the date, Friday, July 11th at 6:35 p.m. for a thrilling halfway to Halloween celebration. Immerse yourself in a ghostly atmosphere with pregame trick-or-treating on the field, a fun-filled rafters costume contest, and exclusive blackout Halloween jerseys available for auction. Cap off the night with spectacular post-game fireworks that will light up the sky. And the excitement doesn't stop there. On Saturday, July 12th at 6:35 p.m., Witterfield will become the ultimate wedding destination for a special Renew Your Vows event. Explore enchanting wedding displays throughout the concourse and take part in entertaining bachelor and bachelorette party games during the game. Then be a part of a heartwarming post-game vow renewal ceremony at home plate that you won't want to miss. Stop out and celebrate in style. Come dressed in your best Halloween costumes July 11th. And get ready to share the love on July 12th.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR. Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sport.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
When you have such a good team, you mentioned your choreographer earlier and music director and, mm-hmm. and so many other people that are involved with this one behind the scenes. We appreciate all of you so much. All the adults and parents getting these kids to rehearsals and everything, really do appreciate. You guys really help theater move. I want to go down the line here, ask you guys about your character a little bit and maybe something you liked or enjoyed about playing that character. And so we'll just go down the line here with that. And start with you, man.
So my character is Riff. I am the leader of one of the gangs that are going at it. It's really fun. Like, it's... And you see the movies. What kind of a gang is just dancing in the streets?
Right.
Like, they're just going around, jumping around, doing little, like, ballerina poses. And they're going at it, and they're supposed to be, like, against this other gang. And when I first saw the movies, I kind of was like, yeah, this is kind of lame. What kind of gang does that? Well, I'm doing it. I'm playing this part, and it's so much fun. Yeah. I'm doing these little ballerina poses, and it's kind of like, wow, this is really nice. And we added a bit more choreography of, like, the actual battles and the fighting, and it adds a bit more, I guess, animosity to it is what I'm looking for.
Sure.
But it's showing the gang members, and there's this whole love thing going on. My character does not know that. He's just...
Okay.
Tony's a kind of a bit of an idiot at the moment. Like, why are you doing this? This is not smart. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying my part. It's just fun to work with. And, yeah, it may come to a bit of a drastic ending, but it's fun.
Yeah, good to hear. Really good to hear. Well, I'll get more from you a little bit later. I'm going to go down the line here again and let you talk about your character a little bit.
Hi, I play Maria. Maria is, she's very innocent, and she's young, and she's hopelessly in love with Tony. And she, well, she sings a lot of duets with Tony in this, and her part sings, it's very, very high for me personally. But I can sing it fairly well, I think, and me and Austin, I think our voices match in most of the songs we sing. It's so much fun. I love watching scenes that, like, the Jets and Sharks are in, and they're fighting, and it's so much fun to watch. And, yeah.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Anne.
Yeah, so I play the part of Anita, and it just... It's very... I almost want to say nostalgic, because I was about 11, 10 when I first watched the original movie, and just the... personal connection I felt towards Anita. She's a kind of like an older sister towards Maria. She's dating the leader of the Sharks, so she's very knowing. She's very, I don't want to say wise, but like kind of. It's so fun. I love all my songs with Phoebe. Luckily, I don't have like a solo song, so I do kind of get to play off of like other people with it. And yeah, it's just amazing. It's
good to hear. Yeah. Really good to hear.
Okay, and then I play Tony, Austin again. And I when I got cast as Tony, I knew I was going to love the songs because I've always loved singing. That's always just been one of my passions. But I think one of my favorite like things that I've taken from the show is just the acting that I've been able to do. Like, there's so much emotion in this show, and it gets like, it's like a super like high fun show, and it's like super exciting, and then it just boom, hit you like a train. And it's so fun being able to play with those and like that emotional roller coaster, and then like have like those fun scenes like Officer Krupke like in the middle to break it up, because it is a heavy hitting show. It's a very emotional show, and I'm sure people that know about the show know that, but I think we do a really good job at portraying those emotions. I think all of us do, and like we all sound really good in our songs as well. It's really good. I like it.
It's great to hear. One of the things that I think you learn going through this the rehearsal process, you have an audience right away. Like from day one, from the first read through, you have an audience. It's your fellow cast members. It's your team. It's the people around there. And when you're able to entertain them, you know, first couple of nights, that's one thing. But you're talking like your fifth, sixth rehearsal down the line. You're 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in. You've been doing this a while, and people are still laughing or people are still engaged. That could be a big part of it. To your point, I think that the script is so well balanced in that regard, where there is moments of seriousness while also some great light moments in there, and the music keeps things moving and very the energy really good too. And you guys, the four of you, just sold this well. Sue and I don't have to say another word. You guys just really sold this well. We could just end the interview, actually. Sue, I did want to talk just a little bit about the rehearsal process and how often you guys rehearsed.
Sure. Auditions happened just after school was out.
It was before
May 16th. And then
May 6th.
Right. There we go. They got it better than me. I got a lot in my mind.
Exactly.
Anyway, and then after that, it was working with them. My normal schedule when I do any of these productions is a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Then we add in a Sunday here and there. And then as we get going, they get longer. 4 to 8. Now we're 4 to 9 going into tech week here. But you know, I am very workable with them, schedules. I know it's summer, vacations, but they know mm-hmm. that they have a responsibility. If you're going to take a vacation, you come back knowing your lines. Right. You know your songs. So, mm-hmm. you know, they have to take ownership. Mm-hmm. And they all know that. So, you know, it's never been really a hassle with a lot of my kids to give me what I need.
It's great to hear. I like the audience to know the work that you all put into this show and everything, while also anybody out there listening that thinks about maybe their kid being in theater or themselves, you know, knowing how much of a time commitment it is. Mm-hmm. There is a commitment there, but I don't think anything too crazy. You know, no. It's about what you'd expect of, right. you know, especially if you haven't done this before.
Well,
so
it's no more of a commitment than you got these little basketball players and baseball players' parents running all over Wisconsin.
It's all my brother's doing right now. Yeah,
and hotel rooms and weekend meals. It ours is local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can have fun local. And just one note, I have one that's not local. And it's Maddie. Maddie heard about the show, and she lives in Sun Prairie. And she's like, God, I want this. She loves this show. And I said, well, you need to audition to prove yourself.
Sure.
She did. It's my granddaughter. So we brought her into the show. So it's kind of a neat experience for me to experience this with my granddaughter, too.
I'm so excited to hear that.
Yeah.
And I will say right away.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your pod.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The death toll from Friday's catastrophic flooding in South Texas is up to at least 104. A massive search continues for the missing. Sonny White is trying to find a man whose trailer was wrapped around a tree.
It's my dad's coworker. It's one of his best friends. So we're still looking, but it's hard to maintain hope right now.
President Trump met with Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House in a push to reach a ceasefire agreement in Gaza.
I don't think there is a holdup. I don't think there's a holdup. I think things are going along very well.
Negotiations continue in Qatar. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass confronted dozens of armed federal agents who stormed the city's MacArthur Park looking for undocumented immigrants.
Frankly, it is outrageous and un-American that we have